Welcome, and thank you for listening in to this message from Cross and Crown Baptist Church. We hope the following message will be a great blessing and encouragement to you. More messages from the pulpit of Cross and Crown Baptist Church are available weekly from our website at www.crossandcrownbaptist.org. We invite you to open your Bible and your heart for the preaching of God's holy word.
Would have taken my head off, swinging logs, and God spared my life. He has me alive today because he wants you to hear this message. After that, I don't know what he wants, but God is constantly protecting us, amen? And he will constantly protect our soldiers. God is in control. Nothing can happen. God is always in control. Now, Satan wanted to destroy Christ. As Jesus Christ wept and knelt in the garden and sweat great drops of blood, he experienced a physical condition that normally it's only been recorded 3 times in human history, and that is a perspiration of blood through the rupturing capillaries of your skin. Jesus' whole body was covered with this icky, gooey, sweaty blood. All 3 of the cases recorded in human history, the people died. Jesus Christ was at the point of death. He was under such extreme anguish of heart and soul, crying out to God for grace to make it to the cross. He did not pray to avoid the cross. No, no. My Lord, he said, for this cause I have I come. He wanted to get to the cross, but he was dying in the garden, and Satan was right there trying to kill him because Satan did not want him to get to the cross. And Jesus prayed, and Hebrews tells us that he was strengthened, he was heard, and that he feared. The book of Luke, the physician, he tells us that an angel was sent to strengthen him, that he could make it to the cross. All through Christ's existence, Satan was seeking to destroy Jesus Christ. But let's look on in chapter 12, and the verse says, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And so where is Jesus Christ today? He's not a spirit flying around and appearing here and there. He is in heaven. And as you have seen him go, he shall come in like fashion. He is not on earth, does not appear on earth, no matter how much you think he does. He is in heaven. His Holy Spirit is here. And Jesus Christ is there. That's the ascension. Now, verse 6, during the tribulation, the woman, who is the woman? Israel, fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God that they should feed her there. How long? 1,260 days. Now, there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels. Now, who is Michael? The book of Daniel tells us that Michael, by name, is the archangel who is a very important leader in God's creation, and he is the protector of Israel. We find that in Daniel. So Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven. Now, you might think that the devil is in hell. He is not in hell. Where is the devil today? He is on the earth. He is the prince of the power of the air. He is on earth, and he has full access to his old home. He can go back to heaven at any time. But at this point in the tribulation, he is now officially trying to make war with Michael and the rest of these angels to win them over, because his goal is to become God. I will be like the Most High. And he fails because Michael and the other angels defeat him. And when they do, the rules of war are, you're not allowed back in heaven at all anymore. And so what is he going to do? He realizes his time is short. And the devil will come down with 100% of his fury and take out all the vengeance he can against Christ. Let's read on. Verse 9, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength in the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God. How often? Day and night. He's going back and forth to heaven all the time. Did you see what Craig did? Oh, you call him a Christian? Child of God? Oh, he's really, really reflects you. Look what he's doing. Look what he's saying. He's accusing us day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman. Who is that? Israel, with which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time, and times, and half a time, from the face of the serpent. Now, interesting, what does time, times, and half a time mean? 1,260 days, we already saw that. And so the Greek expressed it like a year was a time. Times was two, so one plus two is three, and half a time, 3.5 years. Okay, it's not that complicated. The Hebrews didn't express it that way. The Hebrews actually had, in English we have singular and plural. Plural means more than one. In Hebrew they had singular, dual, and plural. So that was more specific, but the Greeks put it this way, time, times, and half a time. Okay, and verse 15. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood. This is very important. This explains a tactic that the devil uses. Water out of his mouth as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, we are not Israelites. We are not Jewish, are we? We are Gentile. But Romans tells us a wonderful truth, that as many as believed God are the children of Abraham. I am not physically a descendant of Abraham, but I tell you this, I am truly a spiritual child of Abraham, because he was the man who trusted God by faith. And so I, in like fashion, trust God, the message of salvation, by faith. I am a child of God. Now, as many of you know, and we'll look at the timeline of Daniel tonight in the evening service, Lord willing. But all of us who are believers today, you know we're not going to be here during the tribulation. We're raptured out. But many, many, many people will, maybe they'll pick up a John and Romans. Maybe they'll get saved. Many, many will get saved. And they are also children of Abraham. And so when the Bible says here in verse 17 that they were the remnant of her seed which keep the commandments of God, the devil is out to attack believers in the tribulation. A lot here to explain. I want to explain this as the Lord gives us this time this morning. So shall we pray and see what the Lord has for us? Father, we pray that you'd give us understanding. I thank you for these dear folks who are here and those who are watching at home. I love them, Lord. I'm sad for their families that they're ill and couldn't be here. But I know people in Florida and Maine and Carolina and other parts of the country, Lord, they're watching. And I pray that you would be with our soldiers who are downrange if they should catch a moment to watch this. And I pray that wherever your word goes forth, Lord, the people, their hearts will be touched by you, Lord. May they not hear me. I pray that you would help me as I seek to be your vessel, that your Holy Spirit would work today in Jesus' name. Amen. Isn't it great to have the word of God? Amen. Now, let's go ahead here and look at all the things that the Lord wants us to learn here in Revelation 12. I think one of the things that God is trying to tell us here is reveal to us, how does Satan attack? In the Garden of Eden, the very first manifestation he took was that of the serpent. And he deceived Eve, and she fell, and Adam fell, and all of humanity is plunged into this curse of sin. We saw how he worked there. We've seen how he works through the rest of Scripture. But here it's unveiled for us in Revelation chapter 12, some very specific details of how Satan attacks. Now remember, what we are learning in Revelation is not just facts about the future. We're learning about our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? But we're also learning about other truths he wants you and I to apply. For centuries, Bible-believing people, preachers and scholars, they would avoid the book of the Revelation. They didn't understand it, and they didn't feel like it applied to the Christian life. But all Scripture, amen? All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness. This is for us to learn. What can we learn about the devil? A lot of things. I want to share this with you today, how he attacks people today. There are three I want to share. But keep in mind, there are many more tactics of war that he uses than just these three. What would they be? Let's look at that in his names. Look at verse 10. Actually, here in verse 9, it says, "And a great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan." Why would the Bible take so much time to give us so many different names for him? Because each of the names tells us about how he works. Now, how does he work? I think the first one, we'll cover these three today, is that he is a slanderer. That's what the word devil means. How many of you speak another language and you've heard, how would you say that in your language? Some people say diabolos, diablo. That means the devil. What does he do? Verse 10, "I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the diabolos, the accuser of our brethren, is cast down." He wants to accuse. Oh, that, what's the big deal? It doesn't bother me if someone rats on me. Well, wait a second here. Everything that you do is seen by the spiritual world. You have no secrets. You have no closets that God doesn't see. And the spiritual world sees it too. And when the devil sees the thoughts of your mind and the actions of your hands and of your heart, no one else might. But Satan is right there in heaven saying, "Did you see that? Did you see that? And he's your child. He's acting like that. Did you see that?" He's the accuser of the brethren. Not only does he accuse you to God, but the devil's actively working to accuse you to you. Because what happens when you are overwhelmed with an accusation of your own past and your guilt? Oh my goodness. He sidelines you. Oh, you can't do anything for God. You can't live for God. You can't do right. You know why? Because of what you've done in the past. Look what you did, you dirty, rotten, filthy, foul, bad person. You're a wretched creature of the dark. How many times has the devil allowed, have we allowed the devil to really speak in our ear? And we start listening, and then we are no longer going around victoriously in our mind. We're going around with our head down. Look what I've done. I'm a dirty sinner. And he accuses you, and he's not going to let you forget it. Sometimes husbands will joke and they'll say, "Yeah, the Lord sent him, sent that message through my wife. Always reminding me, you disobeyed. You said you'd pick up the clothes, and there they lie. You didn't pick up your clothes, you dirty, rotten, or you call yourself a good husband." We're just joking about that. My wife doesn't do that. She just throws them in my face. And she said, "If you're looking for clean clothes, you know where the washroom machine is. Go clean them." But some of you ladies are nodding your heads. Is that what you do too? Well, okay. The accuser of what does he do? He brings you down with guilt. Now, how do we overcome this? Look at verse 11. "They overcame him by," number one, "the blood of the Lamb." What does it mean, the blood of the Lamb? Well, you have to simply go back and know your Bible. In the book of Exodus, where do we see that application of the blood? In the Passover. And this is the distinction between the child of God who obeys God and the child of God who doesn't. God said to all the children of Israel, I'm going to come through the land and I'm going to slay every single household, the firstborn in every household. And those who will apply the blood, take hyssop, which is a plant, and dip it in the blood that was sacrificed from, drained from a sacrificial lamb of 14 days and a pure lamb, and apply it to the lintel and to the doorposts. And apply the blood. And there were people who did that, and their homes were spared as the angel of death passed over them. But for every household that did not obey, what happened? The angel of death took the firstborn. It's a simple distinction between those who will obey and those who don't. And what the Bible is saying here is, when the devil comes to attack you, he may be the accuser of the brethren, the devil, Diabolos, trying to bring you down mentally. All you have to do is overcome that with the blood of the Lamb. The blood of the Lamb. What you have to do is you have to say this, I know I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. You don't have to tell me that. It's proven. Look at my history, my record. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, amen. Y'all nodding your heads like you. Really? I'm trying to look sharp and look like I never sin. Thank you for loving me enough to understand I'm human. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. My family will say, oh yeah. By the way, the closer you get to someone, the more you see their faults. And so don't have any fancy dreams about anybody. We're all on the journey struggling together, right? Putting off that old man, putting on the new. But here's how you apply the blood. You go and you tell that devil this. When he accuses you, you say, I know I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, but I have applied the blood. I didn't do anything to get rid of my sin. It is the blood that's been applied that took away all of my sin. Amen? The blood has been applied. It was the shed blood of Jesus Christ. It is His sacrifice that has made the accuser pass over me. You know, we are wanting to avoid stuff. I can apply this. And anything you throw at me ain't going to come in. And I can go right on down through Grand Central Station. And I can go into an airport, and I can go on a plane, and I can go right into Wuhan, China, and I can go right in. As long as I have the covering, nothing is going to bother me. Amen. And I don't know whatever the devil wants to throw at me that's far more insidious than COVID-19. It is the destruction that's going to destroy my whole spiritual life. He wants to destroy me. He wants to destroy you. But you just put on the mask and you say, I'm covered by the blood. It can't get through. Nothing can get through that perfect mask of the blood of Jesus Christ. How did they overcome him? By the blood of the Lamb. So next time the devil's trying to get you down, you apply the blood. You remember what happened in that pool of blood, that precious fountain? There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains, right? And so you apply the blood. But the second way that the devil attacks us is this. Look at verse 9. The great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. What does it mean when it calls him the serpent? Just as he did it in the Garden of Eden, the devil came, and what did he do to Eve? He deceived her. He lied. That's what he'll do to you. The devil will come in, and he's going to start telling you things. You'll hear it on television. You'll hear it from coworkers. You're going to hear it from our society in all of this world. And your own flesh will lie to you. We face a threefold enemy, the world, the flesh, and the devil. All the world is trying to tell us these lies. Our own flesh is going to tell us these lies. And the devil's going to himself tell us these lies. What are they? Let's just name a few. I'm sure you have experienced all your big long list of your own. But I can tell you a few. How about this? Serving God's a drag. You believe that? Sometimes the devil lies to you that way. He wants to tell you, Hey, the path of joy in life is to serve myself and feed every appetite I have. That's the way. That's a lie. How about this lie? Happiness is found in a big party with friends. Loud music, drugs, booze, and immorality. Is that a lie? But boy, oh boy, that does yearn in the heart of many, many people, and they're drawn to that, and they believe that. I wish there was more of these scared straight programs about the lies of the devil. I like to take people, if you would, go with me, and down to the back alleys. Years ago, having a ministry to the dark side of Pensacola on Friday nights, going outside the bars in the worst part of town. And to tell, and I wish you could go with me and see the broken lives that are outside, sitting on the streets in their own vomit. Their lives are destroyed. They have no good relationships with anybody. They have no true love. And they're drowning their lives in drugs and alcohol and immorality. Look at the end. Look at the end, and don't look at the lie that's up front that baits you and says, oh, this is wonderful. There's the lie that says, hey, bending the rules is fun. It's actually liberating. One very, very famous contemporary Christian singer went to Africa. And she decided that since nobody there knew her, she was going to experience the things that she was wanting to do all of her life but was never allowed to. And she disrobed and she ran across the beach without any clothes on. And she said it was the most liberating experience I ever had. Really? Tell you what, your old flesh, your old sinful nature is drawn to do things like that. But that's a lie. It's not going to free you. It brings bondage. We have the lie that, hey, we hear that lie whispered in our ear after we've been hurt, perhaps. Someone has done something and we say, I'm justified in retaliating. I've been hurt. Or you've done without and you've sacrificed so much for so long, you deserve a little for yourself now. You deserve freedom. Those are lies. The devil whispers the lie, you've been a victim. And now you have a pass on the way you're reacting. The lie comes that says, I have reasonable excuses for doing what I'm doing because I've been suffering so much. These are lies. That's how the devil, the serpent deceives, just as he did to Eve. And what did he do to Eve? He said, why don't you have that fruit there? And she said, we can't have it, neither shall we touch it, lest we die. And what did Satan say? Shall you surely die? Oh, he's good at what he does. He's a deceiver, and many are deceived. And notice in verse 11, here's our answer. How do you overcome? Verse 11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and number two, by the word of their testimony. What in the world does that mean? The word by their testimony. Well, what is the word? Amen. What is the word? The Word of God, right? And what did Jesus do? If you look in Matthew chapter 4, and the three ways that Satan tried to attack Jesus, in every single case, what did Jesus do to overcome the devil? And by the way, he didn't come overcome the devil being as God. He overcame the devil with the same exact resources that you and I possess. He did it as a man completely surrendered to the power of the Spirit of God. He is God, but he did not use his divine capability to keep the devil at bay. He did it as a man, just like you and I, so we have no excuse. He gave us the example, and he says this. The devil said, turn these rocks into bread. You've been hungry for 40 days and 40 nights. Turn the rocks into bread. And what did Jesus say? It is written. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And the devil decided to tempt him in another way. And every single time, the Lord said, it is written. The only hope you and I have for overcoming the devil, when he's lying to us and deceiving us, is you've got to pull out the Word of God and say, thus saith the Lord. Here's our problem. we don't know what saith the Lord.
Right. That's right, brother.
When you know the word, then you can pull it out. It's like me growing up in northern Maine. I don't know about some of your homes. Maybe you have gun safes. Maybe you have, well, in my house and many, many houses up in Maine, we're in a certain room in the house with no locks and no safe and nothing. There's a great big arsenal of all the firearms you'd ever want and pot, big old bags of ammo. You just needed to get your hands on them quick. They're all right there. It doesn't matter how you could have 20, 50, you could have your whole house full of firearms and never know how to pick one up and use it. And all you what do I do? Which ammo is this? I don't know if this is a 38, a 32, or if this is a 50 cal. I don't know what this is. Ah! And meanwhile, they're breaking in and destroying your house, and you're just trying to, hey, I don't know what to do. This is where we are, people. This is why we need to know the weapons we have at our disposal, the Word of God. And when Satan comes in to lie to you, that's when you turn and say, it is written. I don't know what it's written, but I know it's in there somewhere. Friends, I don't remember everything. I have a terrible memory. I know one thing I remember very importantly from education, and that is don't tell yourself you have a bad memory because it will help you have a bad memory. Tell yourself you have a good memory. That's all I remember. But I know this. One of the most blessed things in life is I forget most of the past. I tell you what, that's saved me time and time again. When people have hurt me, I remember, but I just forget about it. It really helps. And I try to remember the good things too. But you've got to remember, I need to memorize and hide God's word in my heart. There was a situation that I experienced this week. It was a great trial. And I went to the Lord in prayer. And I got in his word. And I've read this book probably 100 times. And this, I was reading through this book, and a word leapt off the page. It leapt off, went through my eyes and went down into my heart. And I saw this word 4 more times in 2 chapters. And the Lord was just echoing into my heart. I got up from my Bible time, and I went and I dealt with the situation. And let me tell you this. The one thing that sustained me to walk as the Lord would expect me to walk through that trial was that phrase that was in my heart. It was the word, and I looked at the devil and I said, it is written. And I acted like Christ. I'm not bragging in any way. You know me. I don't act like Christ most of the time. But in that moment, I can say, they overcame him by the word of their what? Look at it again. Verse 10, they overcame by the word of their, verse 11, testimony. You know what's more powerful or equally as powerful as just the written word on paper? We can take the Bible and we can take John and Romans. We can lay it on people's porches and put it in their hands and we can leave it on their door, on the front door. And that's powerful and it will not return void. But what's equally powerful is where you have the word of God being lived out of your life. And people can see it and they're shocked by it. And they say, how is it that you could respond that way? Wow. No, what does it mean, the word of their testimony? Let me carry with you back into the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, what did they call the Ark of the Covenant? Does anyone remember? And they lifted the lid, which was the mercy seat, and they placed inside the Ark of the Covenant 3 things. Aaron's rod that budded, a bowl of manna, and what was the third thing? The Pentateuch, the first 5 books of Moses. The Word of God, that was the only existing Word of God at the time that was written down. The 10 Commandments. They put those in the ark and they were carried around. The Word of God was carried around in a box. That's called the Ark of the Testimony. And today, we don't know where the Ark of the Covenant is. I know a very godly man that influenced my life and he said that it ascended and it's in heaven. I don't know. And some people like to think it's buried somewhere underneath the holy mountain Jerusalem in a cave. I don't know. But I know this, that what concerns us today is that we are carrying around the Word of God in this ark. And it is, we have the word of our testimony. And our testimony is this, the part that carries the word of God around so that when the devil attacks and when he lies to you, you can say, it is written. We will only be victorious in the Lord insofar as we are knowledgeable of God's word and know how to apply it. Otherwise, we'll be defeated. You army folks know that. You know you spend many, many, many years training, not just looking at the weapons, but actually using the weapons. And you know how to use them at the right time. The devil will do that. And so what you do, something like coronavirus comes in and you say, I know where it's going to happen. Oh, right there. Spray that keyboard. There's a doorknob over there. Spray the doorknob. Oh, you got something in your mouth? People going around spraying everything that could possibly be. And you know what? They're on the lookout, aren't they? Where could it, the attack be coming from? Get it. That's what you need to do. Well, the problem is, do you have it? Getting hard to find these days, isn't it? And a testimony, a box that carries around the word of God is getting hard to find these days. And the devil is out there having free reign. And that's why in a country like America where everyone's going around, there's far less transmission of it. But over in another place that's a third world country where they don't have the resources, it's just spreading. And the difference is, you've got it. Christian, you have the word of God. You have an entire, in your home, if we were to go in, we could probably see a gigantic whole closet full of Bibles. A whole closet full of what actually destroys the virus. You got to get it out and you got to use it. You got to know it. The third way, and we'll wrap it up with this. Oh, it's only 11 o'clock. Focus. The third way, look at verse 9. He's called the dragon, the great dragon. Remember I said the dragon describes how he operates and his personality? Look at verse 13. The dragon saw when he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman. The woman was given two wings of a great eagle that she might fly into the wilderness into her place, and she is nourished a time and half a time from the face of the serpent. So he's attacking her, and he does it, verse 15, with a great, he opens his mouth, and there's a great flood, water as a flood that he might cause her to be carried away with a flood. The dragon is going to come in to your life. And maybe the lie that he tells you, you're going to be great if you do it. It's going to be fun. Just go ahead and do it. Try it. It's going to be great. And you say, nope. It is written. Obey mom and dad. Right? It is written. And okay, that didn't work. So what the devil will do, this is, he has many tactics, but he gives us three here. This tactic that he gives is he's going to come in dragon into your life. What do you do when you're attacked by, you see a bear in the woods and you're all alone and you have no place to go and they can outrun you big time? What do you do? Do what cats do. Double the appearance of your size. And it's worked. We've actually seen that. People have caught that on YouTube and videos like that. You can, people have actually, they saw a bear and they're like, what do? I can't outrun this bear. And the bear's moving toward me. Make yourself look big. And that bear sometimes will just stop in its tracks. The devil's coming at you. And notice how it says, out of his mouth comes a flood of waters. And your soul, follow with me and make the connection. I'm sure you can. Your soul gets lifted off of its feet, and the circumstances that the devil has brought into your life have lifted you up. And what happens when you're in a flood? When you don't have a footing anymore, you feel like you have lost control. I was body surfing off the coast of Pensacola in a hurricane. I was 19. This was cool. I didn't have a surfboard. I just body surfed. You get out there, but waist deep, and that wave was so huge, and you jump right at the right time out into the air. It comes up, and it holds you, but waist high out of the water. And from your waist up, you're just like, whoa! I can see all the blue lights where the police are getting everybody off the beach. Yeah! And that wave, I remember I did it several times, but finally that wave took me, turned me upside down, and I hit the sand head first, and my head hit stationary, and the rest of my body went with it. And so basically I went snap. It scared me to death. After the wave receded, I was lying on the beach knowing another one was going to come in at any second now. And the first thing I did is I start wiggling my toes because I thought I'd broken my neck. When I had strength, I was out of breath, and I moved up, and I got off the beach, and I was there, and I called to my friends, and I said, let's get out of here. We were completely stupid. Get out of the water. Let's go home. And I was shooken up. I know what it's like to be completely lifted up and out of control. There's nothing to plant your feet on. The circumstances, I know some of you are going through circumstances right now where you just feel like there is no standard to stand on anymore. You have lost control, and the devil is coming at you with everything he's got. What do you do? Verse 10, they overcame him. Or was it verse 11? They overcame him. How? Look at it there. What does it say? The blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they love not their lives unto the death. What does that mean? To love not your life? It simply means this. You entrust your life into the hands of a faithful, loving God. That's it. I can't do that because if I surrender to the Lord, I know it's going to be complete destruction. I'm going to die. And we run from the situation. We run and we fear. And you know what God wants us to do? Is to hold your ground and to say, no. God told me not to move my feet. Here I shall stand. I will not depart from the word of God. I will not depart from what is right. I will do what is right no matter what. And guess what happens? That bear comes raging out of the woods, and you say, no, and you don't move. I'm going to stand right here. I'm not going to run, because when you run, it's all over. And when you stand your ground, guess what happens? The bear comes running at you. Oh, no, this is certain destruction. I'm going to die. We're all going to die. And all of a sudden, the earth opens up, and the bear goes, and the bear goes right down a hole, and the earth covers it up. Look at Revelation chapter 12. Verse 16, the earth helped the woman. The earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon had cast out of his mouth. Isn't that amazing? There is no situation, no matter how big and how overwhelming it is, but God can't open the earth and take it away like that. What he expects you to do is to love not your life, even if it means death. Yeah, to stand there and face a bear means certain death. Yeah, it means here comes the flood. I'm going to get carried away, and I'm going to get sucked away with this. No. I'm going to obey God and do what he says, and I'm trusting him. We don't have persecution as much these days. But years ago, there were people that many were martyred for Jesus Christ, at least in our history as Americans, many over in China and other places are suffering in martyrdom for God, and in the Middle East, many are suffering for their faith. But here in America, we're not familiar with that. But we go back to some of our ancestors that wrote these words. Faith of our fathers living still, in spite of dungeon, fire, and sword. Oh, how our hearts beat high with joy whenever we hear the glorious word. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. Our fathers chained in prisons dark were still in heart and conscience free. How sweet would be their children's fate if they, like them, could die for thee. Faith of our fathers, holy faith, we will be true to thee till death. The book of James, back a few pages, I want you to notice something here. This sums up this whole message about the devil. In James chapter 4, verse 7. Let's begin in verse 6. He giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. That means I'm humbly going to do what God wants me to do. Submit yourselves therefore to God. What does it mean to submit to God? That means I'm going to obey God. I'm going to obey his word. I'm going to do what's right. I'm not going to run from this situation. I'm going to submit to God. Number two, say no to the devil. By the way, don't go around thinking that you can have the power to stop the devil. You don't. You don't. Even Michael the archangel, when they disputed over the body of Moses, what did he do? He said, the Lord rebuke thee. He said, I'm not going to take you on myself. You're bigger than me. And don't you begin to think for a second you can handle the devil by yourself. You need the Lord's help. And that's why the very first step in resisting the devil is to say, Lord, I'll obey you whatever you want me to do. Sometimes it's not easy because what you and your flesh want to do is not what God wants you to do. And you say, I will submit to you. I will do it your way, not my way. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You obey the Lord and then say no. And understand that you're not going to stop for me. But when you say, Lord, I'm obeying you. I'm going to do what you want. God opens up the earth and the devil goes down for a season. Jesus left the wilderness where he was tempted for 40 days, right? And he was with the wild beasts. Mark tells us it was a rough time. And at the end of that time, it says the devil left him for a season. And the very next few verses, it says he went to Nazareth, and that's where they erupted again and tried to lift him up and carry him out and throw him off a cliff. He'll come back over and over again. Don't you think when you've got the victory, it's over. But you just say, the Lord rebuke thee. Submit to God. Notice verse 7. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, he'll draw nigh to you. So cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. I have $100 worth of gel here. Some loving person brought this to me this morning, and they said, give it to Kim, because Kim is taking care of her folks, and they need a lot of sanitary measures, as there's a lot of medical care that they need to do. I've gone to the store to try to buy Lysol, and to buy the, you can't find it, because all those hoarders have taken it up. And those who actually need sanitary measures, they can't get them. And so this person lovingly brought this to me. Three of these bottles, probably worth $30 a piece now. And the Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Ain't no COVID-19 gonna get in my hands, right? And what's far, far worse than COVID-19 and the coronavirus is the devil. And the Bible says, submit to God and cleanse your hands. Just do it. Get on your knees and say, God, I plead the blood. The devil's attacking me and my sin is buried under the blood. I don't believe what the devil's accusing me about no more. It's under the blood. And I want to do this, and I'm not going to do that. I'm going to believe the word. I'm going to obey the word. I'm going to apply the blood. I'm going to do what I need to do. So I mask this. I put on the mask. I go around using scripture. And I cleanse my hands. And God says he will flee. Maybe you're under a lot of persecution right now. Right now, you need to get on your knees and you need to say, God, forgive me and cleanse me. I want to obey you and serve you with all my heart. but I'm overwhelmed right now. I challenge you to read Isaiah over and over again. Isaiah says, I will give you wings that you can fly away and be at rest. When all the waters come, they will not overflow thee, for I am thy God.